Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
CeeDee Lamb just got a contract extension that pays him $34 million a year and $100 million guaranteed. We'll discuss what that means for the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk next on Conan Hensley. What's up? Good afternoon. Welcome to Conan Hensley. That's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. Breaking news. There was training camp today. We can talk about what happened. Brock threw a pick, but that's just like any day that ends in Y. Sorry, but the big news today was that CeeDee Lamb got a huge freaking contract extension from the Cowboys just 2 weeks before the season started. 4 years, $136 million, $100 million guaranteed. How far across the room do you think Brandon Ayuk threw his phone when he read the update?
Yeah, I'm sure he's not happy about it, but mainly I think it's the timing. Like, seeing CeeDee Lamb get extended before him when Jerry Jones came out and was like, I have no interest in extending CeeDee Lamb right now. We're not going to worry about it right now. We'll deal with it later. So Jerry Jones says, we'll deal with it later. Well, later is now, and it's done. And BA has been trying to get it done for a long time. That's got to be aggravating. As far as like the dollar amounts, I'm not so sure BA should worry too much about that. To be real, right?
Like, you're not CeeDee Lamb. You're not Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, I believe, caught 130 plus passes on the team for the Cowboys last year, whereas Brandon Ayuk's 75. So quite a bit of difference in usage there. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He shouldn't expect CeeDee Lamb type money, but it's got to be frustrating seeing CeeDee Lamb extended, getting his payday, $100 million guaranteed, and he's still on standby.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everyone from Ayuk's draft class who's in line for an extension, or anyone who's like, this is the year to be extended before they become a free agent. I know Ja'Marr Chase could be extended, but there's like 2 more years left on his deal. Everyone's gotten their deal done, except for Ayuk. Every single one. And if I were him, I don't know, I would think about, what is my agent doing? Like, dude, you're John Lynch's agent too, and mine, and I somehow am the one guy who can't get a freaking deal done. Like, I'd be mad at my agent. Maybe he knows more than I do, but it feels like Ayuk had to take so much into his own hands this offseason. It didn't necessarily work, and he's the one guy that didn't get paid. I'd be so frustrated if I were him, but you know what? It's not my problem. I'm having a great day. How are you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm doing fantastic. No, I think for the thing is, man, like, it's a different situation with Brandon Ayuk. And I've been saying this all offseason, and I think people, hopefully you see it by now. It's a weird, contentious relationship. I was texted the word nasty this past season. Some of these negotiations, these meetings have been nasty, is the word that was texted to me between Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. Here's the thing, man. I think Brandon Ayuk is in the territory now where the 49ers are questioning, you know, yes, he's a good player, but do we really want to commit to somebody who's negotiated this way over this offseason? I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to get done. I think this last week I was like 60-40. It's going to get done. I think I'm closer to 50-50 at this moment. I'm not sure if this is going to play out.
Yeah, I just feel like CeeDee Lamb's agent, whoever that is, did a better job. He was like, CeeDee, be quiet. I'll handle it. And CeeDee was like, I trust you. And it worked out. They got all the money they wanted. Whereas Brandon Ayuk wasn't quiet, and the agent didn't do anything to make him look better and hasn't gotten the money. So that's their problem. Does this now make it more or less likely for the Niners to be able to strike a deal with Brandon Ayuk? I mean, did the market just go up again?
I don't think it went up for Brandon. I really don't. I think the market is still the same for Brandon Ayuk. I don't think it changes much. I still feel 50-50 on it. You know, we saw Brandon Ayuk at the game on Friday, and I was told that he was forced to go. They were like, you have to go or you're going to get fined.
I mean, Kyle essentially said that after the game, right? He's like, that's what we make our players who are healthy do.
Right. That's the thing. Right? You're just injured. You're not holding out. You're not holding in. You're injured. Your back hurts. So you're going to be with the team like everybody else. He shows up in all black, no Niners gear. This has been very contentious. And I don't even know if it's at a point right now. Like, it feels like it's getting to a point where it's almost unrepairable. You know, maybe that's not the case, but it's starting to feel that way.
Yeah, you know, with the Debo thing 2 years ago, it got contentious, but it never seemed like it got contentious between Debo and Kyle. They seemed like they were on the same team, side, page, whatever metaphor you want to use. But with Kyle and it seems like the issue is not between Ayuk and Lynch or Ayuk and Parag or Ayuk and Jed. I mean, I don't have evidence. But it seems like the issue is between Ayuk and Kyle. And we've known that they've had an issue. I mean, Kyle has been giving him tough love for years in ways he never gave Debo tough love. And we don't really understand why Kyle felt that was appropriate for Brandon and not Debo. But Ayuk seems to have resented it. And now it seems like he wants retribution or something. And Kyle's unwilling to give it in the way that Ayuk wants it. And they got a huge standoff. And if I know Kyle Shanahan the way I think I do, he's not going to back down. And it seems like Brandon won't either, which is very interesting. So how do you think this is going to play out?
Again, man, I feel 50-50 about it. Anything could change. I mean, that's the good thing. Anything can change. They could all of a sudden come to the realization that they need each other and work this whole thing out tomorrow. That's a possibility. Or they can continue being stubborn. I talked about it on my show on Sunday. It's almost like, you know, those old comic strips, the satire comic strips, where it's two Cowboys, not Dallas Cowboys, actual Cowboys. You got Kyle Shanahan as a Cowboy, Brandon Ayuk as a Cowboy, and they're in a standoff. Brandon Ayuk's got a pen in his holster. Kyle Shanahan has a phone in his holster, and who's going to draw first? Is BA going to draw and sign his contract, or is Kyle Shanahan going to draw his phone out and call a team and get Brandon Ayuk out of here? They're both in a very stubborn people. And I think this goes the root of this problem, I think, is that Brandon Ayuk does not respond well to Kyle Shanahan's coaching style. And I don't think Kyle adjusts his coaching style for his players. And I think whatever he was trying to accomplish with the whole doghouse thing, there was probably a better way that didn't damage the relationship that Kyle could have utilized in order to get the same result that he got from putting him in the doghouse. That's where this started.
I mean, he kind of put him in the doghouse in the Super Bowl again, too. I mean, you were on the field, but you weren't targeted. You were back to, like, running clear out routes and hustling and blocking like you're a freaking rookie. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like those two have a not so good relationship, and they're both two of the more stubborn people that I know. I couldn't tell you which one's more stubborn. I mean, God,
it's a toss up.
So to me, that's why I keep saying, like, I don't think they're going to work this out. I think they're going to get traded. And I know that people talking to the Niners, probably the Niners are privately projecting confidence. It's all going to work out until it doesn't. And they trade them like with 2 days before the season, because I think it's important for them to make it seem to their fans that they made a really strong effort to bring back Ayuk. But I think the entire time they knew what it would take to bring him back, and they kept offering a little bit less than it would take just so they could say, we tried, he's unreasonable, when really, like, I just don't think Kyle wants that relationship anymore as much as, because look, if he were to keep Ayuk long term, they'd have to get rid of Debo in like a year, and I don't think Kyle wants to make that trade.
Well, there's a couple of problems, right? Like the way BA handled himself on social media this offseason, and who knows, his agent probably told him not to. It's not like his agent said that that's okay, right? Like,
yeah.
So that's a problem. Like, you go pay this guy, guarantee him, you know, $80 million or whatever it is, $30 million a year. Is he going to conduct himself like he has this past offseason in the future if he's not getting targets, things like that? So that makes you question whether you should do it. What's working on the favor of the fans, I guess, because I don't see any way that the 49ers walk away from this with a W. I mean, if you consider Brandon Ayuk being on the team, that's a win, I guess, but they're going to overpay him or pay him more than they wanted to. And if they trade him, they're not going to get anything back that's going to justify the trade. So it feels like a win-win situation for BA either way. And it feels like a lose-lose situation for the 49ers outside of getting him on the team. That would be a W for in that regard, but they're going to be paying way more than they wanted to pay for Brandon.
The W could be not overpaying a number two receiver. Sorry, Ayuk. The W could be you get some picks back and then you flip those picks to another team before the deadline for a good player, maybe a D end or a D lineman. That could be the W. But yeah, it's looking like the Niners bungled this one and took way too long. Yeah, I guess I don't have any more thoughts on that, but I do want to bring up something you mentioned. You said that it seems like Ayuk really didn't appreciate Kyle Shanahan's coaching style. Let's describe it. Kyle Shanahan's demeanor. He came into the Niners as a 37-year-old head coach. He was sort of seen as like the young up-and-comer, the cool guy who wears Yeezys and listens to Lil Wayne. But now he's 45. He's right in the median of ages of NFL coaches. And he's got like a distinctly old school demeanor in my assessment. He's kind of salty. He's kind of, he's almost like a young Marty Schottenheimer. Like, he will chew you out and keep it real. And a lot of people like that. But a lot of people don't, especially like young Gen Z athletes. Like, how many other coaches currently employed in the NFL have Kyle's demeanor?
I can't think of many. Bill Belichick is not.
Let's stick right there. Yeah. Let's stick right there. I agree. Yeah. He's a lot like Bill Belichick. I wouldn't even be surprised if he like patterned himself after Belichick. What happened to Belichick this offseason?
He's going to be on TV. Nobody wanted to hire him.
Nobody wanted to work with Bill Belichick. Why is that?
I don't know. You know, I think a lot of people are questioning how good he was without Tom Brady. That's part of it. But it's also because he's got a very old school mentality.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's that demeanor that Kyle Shanahan has sort of emulated and takes pride in having. But God, he's like last of a dying breed with that. I mean, if that's who you're trying to be like, Belichick, a 75-year-old salty man, I'll know, Kyle. Like, look at all of his disciples. They leave. Mm-hmm. And they have this, like, Mike McDaniel, super upbeat. Sean McVay, super upbeat. Matt LaFleur, like,
D'Amico
almost
Ryan.
Submissive to his players. Like, Kyle is the one guy who's, I would also say he's kind of uptight and controlling. Like, he knows his legacy is on the line. And there's so much at stake for him. He's the genius. And I feel like those moments where he kind of chokes, it's like, dude, how much more pressure could you put on yourself? Like, how uptight can you be? It seems like he tenses up. I don't know. Maybe I'm going in on Kyle right now, but I was thinking about his demeanor. And from Brandon's perspective, it's like, who wants a coach like this? I'd rather have Mike Tomlin, who's a notorious players coach.
Yeah. D'Amico Ryans understands that. If you watch some of the press conferences, he actually talks about treating his players as adults because they are. there's some hints, a good sign though, that he is learning. I believe Debo Samuel was on with Kay Adams. And Debo was talking about how soft Kyle is with Ricky Pearsall and how he's changed. And he was talking about how him and Brandon Ayuk were joking about it because they both noticed it. So that tells you two things. One, everything we're talking about in regards to his coaching style was 100% accurate with BA and with Debo. But now BA and Debo are noticing that that's different with Ricky Pearsall. He's also letting Kubiak call plays. So maybe he's realizing the mistakes he's made and what kind of got him and BA into this funky relationship in the first place. And maybe he's adjusting now, which is a good thing.
I just think it's interesting that his, like, all of his underlings, you want to call them, coaches that have worked for him, D'Amico, Sala, they'll take his scheme. They'll take certain of his assistant coaches, but they will not take his leadership style. No one copies his leadership style. He's on his own with his very unique. And I think what's kind of interesting is, like, so he patted himself after Bill Belichick. No shame in that. He was considered the GOAT for a long time. Now, who's the best head coach in the game?
Andy Reid.
What's his to me?
Yeah, he's adjusted. I think Andy Reid had more of that too, right? But now he's more of a players laid back
coach. He's funny. He cracks jokes. He's keeps it light. He empowers the players. He's like a cool grandpa.
Let's the players make plays now.
Yep.
On Wednesdays, they
he lets them draw plays. Like, he has them doing like ring around the Rosie in the huddle. I mean, like, stupid stuff. Like, just to have fun, just to keep it light. Kyle isn't very good at keeping it light.
Yes, that's the thing, is what people don't realize is, you know, I coached basketball in high school for 10 years, but what people don't realize is you see this transition happening in high school, and a lot of these players that he's working with in the NFL now have been coached the new school way in high school and in college. So they're not used to this old school stuff that Kyle started with. Now, I think if you look at Kyle, like, when has he ever been in a leadership position before the 49ers? He really hasn't, right? Mm-hmm. So this was his first opportunity to lead a team. And he started one way, probably picked up some things from his dad or Bill Belichick and guys like that, what he thought a coach needed to be. Mm-hmm. But as he's starting to go through it, he's starting to learn. Like, this whole experience of Brandon Ayuk's probably teaching him. And that's why their BA and Debo are pointing out, like, the way you're coaching Ricky is not how you coached us. So, I mean, maybe that's a good thing that he's learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Ricky P. He was at practice today, blue non-contact jersey, shoulder brace on. They're throwing him back out there. I'm not really sure why. I mean, I guess what they're telling us is that it's not that bad of an injury. Forget that it happened in college. It happened in OTAs. He re-aggravated it. It's just a little tender. It's nothing serious. And it's been 3 weeks, and he's good to go. I mean, he's not really good to go because he's got the blue non-contact jersey, but they want him out there because, gosh darn it, it's the 49ers. What do you think of the latest going on with Ricky P?
I mean, it's great optics. I want to be clear too. Like, how do I say that? I don't want, like, to come down on Ricky, call him a bust because he's injured. He hasn't played yet. We don't know what's going to happen with him. But I have talked to doctors, and Jeff Mueller tweeted out about his situation. From everyone I've talked to, obviously this is a recurring injury. It happened his junior year, happened twice in the OTAs, and he's yet to be tackled in an NFL game. He's back at practice wearing a shoulder brace and a non-contact jersey. So it's still something they're concerned about. From everything I understand, it scares me a little bit for Ricky because I feel like at some point in this season, knock on wood, hopefully not, but this could happen again. And the only real way to make sure it doesn't is by surgery. And, you know, I'm hoping he gets through this offseason and it's a non-issue, and then maybe he doesn't need surgery. But it is a little sketch that he's had this injury twice already and still hasn't yet to be tackled in an NFL game. So it's definitely concerning. I'm glad he's back. But I don't know how confident I am that Ricky Pearsall is going to get through 17 games.
This feels like the Niners covering their butts. It's like, we didn't draft an injured player. No, he's fine. He's on the field. Look, he's good. He was just a little tender. He just needed 3 weeks. He's good. What are you talking about? This is a non-story. And the reason he's not playing his rookie year has nothing to do with this shoulder. It's just that, you know, we have so many good players at wide receiver. And Jacob Cowing, wow, he's incredible. We love Ricky. It's just that he's inactive every single week because Chris Conley is just so good. And, oh, by the way, like, after the season, like, yeah, Ricky had surgery. Like, yeah, we clean that up. But, like, he didn't need it until, like, that's what it kind of feels like to me. I'm predicting that he'll have surgery after the season and that he could probably have it now. But they don't want to shut him down because it would look bad to shut down your first-round pick.
Yeah, it feels like.
Got you. Yep. Yeah, we're going to whisper the rest of the show. It's okay. All right.
feels like optics. It feels like optics to me a little bit. That's what it feels like. Let's get him out there. But he's obviously not ready. He's got the blue contact jersey and the brace. Is everything good there in Ninerland?
Yeah. Someone told me to keep it down, so I'll try.
All right.
Give it the old college try.
give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's concerning. You know, they had a good draft. This rookie pick is interesting because of the injury. So, I mean, it was interesting before the injury, if I'm being real. Like, it seemed like a reach prior to this injury stuff. Now it feels even more like that. But he could come back and be phenomenal for all I know.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. This is purely hypothetical. If Ricky Pearsall misses week one, most of the season, isn't a factor because this injury keeps popping up. But Jacob Cowing has a nice rookie year and emerges as like a weapon for the team. Does that excuse them for maybe whiffing on Pearsall?
That's the whole Brock Purdy excuses the Trey Lance pick thing, right? No, it doesn't.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't because it's a first round pick. So Cowing would have been Cowing at fourth, right? There's like a guy I wanted, Malik Washington, the Dolphins got at 184.
Yeah.
He's very much Cowing-ish like, right? If you wanted a slot guy, you got him in the round four. That means you wasted round one. And so, no, it doesn't make up for it. It's great that Cowing's going to work out, but no, it doesn't excuse the pick if the pick ends up not working out.
I don't think it does. And we're not there yet. But, like, they could have had Cowing and, you know, not a wide receiver with that first round pick. Again, taking a wide receiver in round one seemed excessive, but then taking two wide receivers seemed, you know, gratuitous. Like, well, this is the deepest position on your team. Why are you doing this? So Cowing works out. So it seems like, he had, talk about training camp today. He caught a little tunnel screen. Almost got tagged and then just exploded through the defense for a 60-yard touchdown. Like, I can't remember the last player the Niners have had that had that kind of a skill set. Like, can we think about that? We'll stop with Ricky. We're going to come back to Ricky, but Cowing, like a 4-3 receiver who isn't just like a deep threat, like a guy that you can give the ball to on a punt return, a jet sweep, a screen. Like, that wasn't Marquise Goodwin. Who else is like that?
I don't know. It's a great pickup by the 49ers. They had a great draft class so far, right? Like, again, even good or bad, you kind of got to give it 2 or 3 years. Guys can look great initially and then fall off the map, or they could look bad initially and develop. So we got to, you know, be patient on these draft picks. But right now, overall, the draft class looks fantastic outside of we haven't seen Ricky Pearsall. But
yeah, all I'm saying is if he re-aggravates it 8 more times this season and then they shut him down and give him surgery, that'd be a little too a waste and too late. Like, just get it over with. If he does it one more time, they should shut him down and give him the surgery. It's the not good news, the rest isn't working.
The good news is, from what I read, once they have, if he has to have surgery and he has the surgery, really good results history. So it'll probably never be an issue again if he does.
Great. All Niner says, good to see Ricky Pettis, Pearsall back at practice. You mean Dante Pearsall? Oh, I'm sorry. That was just mean. I didn't even, it was a slip of the tongue. Blood Moon says CD took less year, but BA wants more. Why is that? What do you mean?
Took less?
4 years? $34 million? Took less what? Daniel Trujillo says Ayuk also missed his first game in rookie year. Chill.
I don't think it's the first game that we're worried about. It's just like missing the season. If this happens again, what are they going to do? He's going to have to wait 3-4 games and then come back 3-4 games. Like, every time this happens, it's what, 12 weeks, something like that. Six to 12 weeks is the recovery period every time this happens. So,
and it's only been 3 weeks since the last time it happened. Not even. Yeah. It was August 6th. It's August 26th. So 3 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but if you Google it, it says it takes like 6 to 12 weeks.
Yeah. And last time he re-aggravated, he did it blocking. And that's not even like real blocking. It's in practice where you're like going through the motions. So I don't know.
It's
a concern. It seems like, I don't have any inside information. It seems like the thing is just popping out randomly. And even if it doesn't pop out for 2 months, like, it's going to be in the back of your head. Like, when I run this route, when I make this block, when I catch this pass, like, is my shoulder going to explode? I'm sure it's so painful.
Let me ask you this, Grant. Our first two topics combined, if Ricky Pearsall was 100% healthy and looks fantastic in the training camp and in preseason, is Brandon Ayuk still even being negotiated with, or is he in Pittsburgh or Washington at this point?
Yeah, I mean, like, he'd probably be in Pittsburgh, because the thing holding it up is that the Niners want to be able to, like, find a wide receiver that they could acquire from some other team, some third team, and that guy isn't available right now, so they go back to Brandon and try to work it out. But if Pearsall looked like Brandon, there would be nothing to think about.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Trent Williams. Finally, we get an update on Trent Williams. This comes from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, who says that Trent Williams essentially, you know, will not play football again until or unless the Niners adjust his contract. He wants to be the highest paid left tackle in the league. He wants guaranteed money. And until he gets that, he's just going to play golf, which is exactly what I'm doing. And turns out we're both 36 years old. So I feel it.
Yeah. You guys should go together. Yeah.
Do you think that Trent Williams has gotten to the place mentally where he could live without football if it came to that?
That's what I think he's doing. It's like, he doesn't care about the fines because he's okay with, hey, I just won't play then. Right. Yeah. That's his mentality to me. It's like, either make me the highest paid right tackle, give me some guaranteed money, or left tackle, or I'll just retire. Yeah. Like, he doesn't care because the fines mean nothing to him. He could just, okay, I've already made $150 million in my lifetime. Like, I'm not really tripping. I feel like that's where Trent Williams' mindset is at. Like, you guys need me. If you want me, you need to make me the highest paid left tackle in the NFL, and you need to guarantee my year. Otherwise, I'm going to retire. I just had a baby. I'm golfing. Life is good. Like, that's, to me, Trent Williams' mentality at this point.
It's a perfectly fine mentality for a future first ballot Hall of Famer who's 36. I mean, again, there's something about turning 36 and playing golf that I don't understand. I don't really understand it, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
But from the Niners' perspective, I'd be nervous about this, because he could say he wants to come back and play football if for the right price. But, like, once I think you mentally get to the place where you, like, don't need football, in fact, you can kind of envision life beyond it, or you're already kind of, like, living life beyond it. Like, hey, he might like golf more than football. Who knows? You might be like, you know what? I'm good at this, and no one touches me the whole time. I just get to, like, be on this nice freaking course for 5 hours, and there's, like, cart girls that come up and ask me if I want drinks and stuff. It's like, this is wonderful. I freaking love it. I hate, but who knows?
Right.
Once you get there mentally, I'd be nervous. Like, all right, man, we can give you what you want. We can give you the new contract. Like, what if we guarantee the next 2 years of your contract and then you retire next year? Like, we'll feel stupid. So I'd be really careful. But at the same time, what can the Niners do? They didn't draft an offensive tackle.
They have no choice. They have to pay him or not, really. And here's the other thing, too. Like, it's the vibes, I think, for Trent, too, right? Like, this, he's really close with Brandon Ayuk. So this whole Brandon Ayuk thing does come into play a little bit. Because if you're Trent Williams, you're already guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer, right? You have already made $150 million. You're not tripping off 30, really. I mean, it's a lot of money. But if you already have 150, 30's not going to change your life. It's great. It's extra money. But you have enough money. You're in the Hall of Fame. What do you need left to play for? It's Super Bowl at this point. So if you're looking at the Niners, you're in Texas and you're watching what's going on with the Niners, all the injuries, the Brandon Ayuk situation, are you feeling like this is the year if you're Trent Williams? Because if you're not, then you're not tripping about coming back. Pay me my $30 million guaranteed. Or else I'm chilling. I'm golfing. That's where
because if he plays on this current deal right now with no guaranteed money at, like, the fourth highest paid at his position, it's kind of like him acknowledging that he's slipping. It's like, yeah, you know, it's the best. This is a fair deal for me. I'm not quite the best anymore. I'm a little bit older, you know. You can't really count on it. I get hurt every year. Like, that's not the kind of competitor he is. He thinks he's not only the best left tackle in the league now, he thinks he's the best left tackle of all time, the best player on the team, and utterly essential to their Super Bowl run. And if, you know, they don't want to lose that, I don't think his ego will allow him to, like, he's not the kind of guy who's going to come back and be one of the guys. He has to be special. If you don't realize that, like, in the locker room, he has three lockers. There's, like, two side by side and, like, a foot locker next to it that they built on. And there's, like, a literal like it's like a rope that they would put, you know, like when you're at the airport and they like have those little ropes to show you. There's like, you can't get, his own teammates can't get too close to him. You understand? Like he is on a whole different level. And if the Niners won't continue to treat him that way, I fully expect him to retire. Kind of an interesting place to be in.
And here's the thing. You got to think about his background, right? Survived cancer.
Yeah.
Right? He's been through it. He knows, he really understands and appreciates what matters most in life. He's already made enough money for his grandkids to live off of. So he's probably thinking about what's most important in life, and what's most important in life is your time. So if there's not a legitimate feeling to him, like, you know, they're going to pay me the highest paid, I'm going to get guaranteed money, and we have a high chance at making a Super Bowl run and finally winning the thing. If he's not feeling that, he's not going to cave. The Niners have zero leverage on Trent Williams right now.
No. And they're going to have to see if, even if they do give him what he wants, if he's really into playing football anymore. I guess we'll find out. Okay. Sleeper time. Sponsor of the show, Sleeper app. You want to make some sleeper picks? Go download the Sleeper app, use promo code CONE, and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. We're going to make some picks right now, show you how it's done. Little NFL pick, week one. They still don't have the Niners up there, but don't fret. They have other games. Dallas and Cleveland, that's a game. Two teams, good teams, maybe. Dallas, Dak Prescott, 260.5 passing yards, more or less, Ryan. In Cleveland, what a defense that team has.
I'm saying less for Dak.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Cleveland. First game, it's going to be a little rough. Cleveland's defense is really good. They're in Cleveland. I'm saying under for Dak.
Okay. Deshaun Watson, 223. Wow. People don't think much of Deshaun Watson anymore, and I think I know why. 223.5, more or less, for Deshaun.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he averages more than that throughout his career.
Let's see, I believe what he averaged last year.
I think he has one of the highest yards per game. Maybe I'm tripping, but I feel like that's accurate. Deshaun Watson.
Hold on. Let me get it. Last year he averaged. Oh my God. Okay. So 2020 in Houston, he averaged 301 per game.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't play 21. Then he plays six games in 2022, averages 183.
Yeah, 22.
Then he plays six games in 2023. This is both for Cleveland. 185. So he's been freaking awful. Terrible in Cleveland.
I don't know. He's been terrible in Cleveland. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Like, I don't know if he's just been distracted by all of this off-field stuff and he'll ever get back to himself. I guess if you're smart, you're going to go on the under because of what he's done lately. At one point, he was putting up a lot of numbers, but I guess I'll go with what he's done lately and go under.
Yeah, that point was like 4 years ago and like two scandals ago, maybe one scandal. 29 witnesses. I don't know. Right. I don't know. Okay, let's go to something else. Rushing yards. No. Receiving yards. No. Let's go to a whole different game. Let's say Houston. Mm. Houston. Rushing yards? Yes. Joe Mixon, 62.5 rushing yards, more or less. First game as a Texan.
And they're playing, who are they playing? The Colts?
Colts.
Mm.
In?
That was tough.
Coltville.
Can we go to Richardson's passing on that game?
Yes. Richardson's passing, 207.
It's going to be under. Whatever it is, it's going to be under. I was hopeful about him, but watching him early so far has been pretty bad.
Okay, fair enough. What about Joe Burrow at home against New England? First game, 255.5 passing yards.
More. I'm going to say more on Burrow. I think he's going to have a good year this year.
The Athletic recently ranked quarterbacks, put him in tiers. Tier one, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. Does Burrow belong in that tier?
Tier one is Mahomes. Agreed. That's what it should be. Tier two should be somebody else.
I don't feel like Allen and Burrow are in the same tier. As for me, I don't know. Like, Burrow has ended two seasons on IR out of four.
Yeah.
I think he's got more to prove.
You know, Allen is very talented from a running and like arm talent standpoint, but Burrow, I feel like honestly, Burrow's more reliable as far as like what you consistent, like you know what he's going to do more. Yeah, with Josh Allen, it's kind of hit or miss. But I definitely wouldn't have either of those guys on Patrick Mahomes' level.
Yeah, but Burrow kind of looks like young Eminem.
That's true. So that messes everything up.
You didn't think about that. All right, those are our picks. Prescott less on the yards. Watson for sure less. Anthony Richardson double for sure less. And Joe Burrow more. Just cause we're gonna flex it because that's just a smart play. And then submit the entry and boom, that's how you play the sleeper pick game. Which I like. Okay, let's go. Final roster prediction. Should we go pretty quick? We don't have to belabor it, but I think we can nail this. I think we can knock this out.
Yeah, I'll go by position first.
Let's go by position, man.
Start with quarterbacks. Did you hear about the new quarterback rule just changed?
Yeah. So you can't put a quarterback on practice squad and elevate him every single week. It's got to be on the 53.
So what does that tell you? That means they're going to keep three quarterbacks, I would assume, and it's Brock, Josh, and Brandon Allen.
Agree. Okay, so we're 3-for-3.
Wide receivers, I don't know. I guess we have to assume Brandon Ayuk's going to be on the team, right, for this exercise?
I guess.
So Brandon Ayuk's on this team. You got B.A., Debo, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowan, and Chris Conley. I think I don't really question that at all. Is there someone else that you would pop on there? Would you keep six?
I feel like they're going to find a way to keep Ronnie Bell, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, he hasn't done much, but whether that's putting Ricky Pearce on IR in 2 weeks or trading Brandon Ayuk, I mean, they're not going to do that just to keep Ronnie Bell. I just feel like he's not. We haven't seen the last of Ronnie, but right now, those are the six. Those are the six. Danny Gray's for sure gone.
Yeah, and they cut Jonte Kirkland for all the Jonte Kirkland fans out there.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Messed up.
Here's the one I don't understand. I need your help on this, Grant. George Kittle, obviously, they kept four tight ends last year. This year, I don't know how many they're going to keep. George Kittle's the only one that I think is good. After that,
they're going to keep Sober. That's two.
Sober. Yeah, those are
the two. And then I have a bold prediction.
Okay.
I think they're going to keep Jake Tongis. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Tongis.
Okay.
I think he earned it. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be active or catching passes, but I think he had a really solid camp. Like, compared to Braden Willis and Cam Latsu, Tongis was objectively better. And I think they're going to reward him. I mean, like, Ross Dwelly would have these type of camps where he was just really solid every day, and he always made the team. I think he's the new Dwelly.
Interesting, because I don't even have him on my... So,
oh, he's for sure making the team. Latsu's not.
Okay, but here's the thing. They brought back Logan Thomas on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, they cut him once and no one else signed him. I don't think you could cut him and put him on the practice squad.
Why even bring him back Thursday? Why not just wait and sign him to the practice squad?
Yeah, I don't really know.
Okay. I mean, I got a bold prediction for you.
Give it.
Cam Latsu is going to make this team.
They're going to make it?
I'm probably wrong, but the reason why I say that is this. Do you know he had the highest receiving grade on PFF on Friday? Do you know that? Cam Latsu.
Wow. That says a lot about Cam, about PFF.
Yes, it does. But here's the other thing. He's good in special teams, blocking, big body. When I watch Cam Latsu, I see improvement from last year. And we got to remember, Cam Latsu was a outside linebacker in college until his junior year. When I see Cam Latsu, I see a guy learning to play tight end. I think Cam Latsu is going to improve, and I think he could actually scrape onto this roster, believe it or not.
Okay, let me ask you this then. What about Braden Willis? Did he show anything?
If
they were to waive Braden Willis, I think he was a 7th-round pick. Would anyone claim him and put him on their 53? Braden.
Here's my bold prediction that's going to be completely wrong. Kittle, Solbert, Willis, Latu. It's going to be wrong. That's my prediction. I'm going on a limb here. They drafted these guys last year. 3rd round.
Okay, but when Tongis makes the team, which one of those four guys would you think won't make it?
Here's the thing. Braden Willis, by the way, they played him in the preseason. And up until this last game, he was looking decent, right? They played him. Like, he was the first guy out there. He was playing fullback. He had that versatility. He was horrible.
Latsu was playing deep into that last game, was he not?
He was.
Yep. I'm telling you.
You're probably right.
Come on.
I don't want to admit it. I like.
Think Cam they could Latsu. Trade him for something? What do you think Cam Latsu is worth in a trade?
Stop it. I don't.
Stop it. Okay, let's moving on. Moving on.
All right. Running backs. They just let go of Matt Breida, Keshawn Vaughn. I thought they might consider trading Elijah Mitchell and keeping Breida.
Maybe they get Breida on the practice squad.
We'll put him back on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Keshawn Vaughn actually looked good when I saw from him too, but they're going to roll with Kyle Juszczyk, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, and Isaac Grindel. I think that's a no-brainer. They'll put Cody Schrader hopefully on the practice squad, Patrick Taylor.
Let me use a brain real quick, my little peanut brain. I don't feel like Elijah Mitchell needs to be on this team. I'm sorry.
That's what I said. I don't understand it. I thought they were going to trade him.
It's just like nostalgia, man. I'm sorry, but like the last – I feel like his legs have no snap, juice, electricity, whatever you want to call it. He just feels like he's not what he used to be.
To me, at this point, it's his last. He's in a contract year, and they're not going to keep him beyond this year. So why not trade him for a 6th, 7th rounder if you can? I think you could probably find a 7th, 6th rounder for Elijah Mitchell right now. And that's why I had them trading him and keeping Matt Breida, but they released Matt Breida.
Breida has more juice left. Pause.
I think so too, man. That was my opinion. I mean, could they try to trade him and keep Cody Schrader? Is that a possibility? I don't know. I didn't see anything from Cody Schrader, man. I really didn't.
Yeah, could you trade Elijah for like a 5th-round pick or something? I mean, they traded Jeff Wilson Jr.
I think they could get a fifth at best, 7th at worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could get something for him.
Yeah, throw him in the BA trade.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But most likely as of right now, Juice, McCaffrey, Mason, Mitchell, Grindel. That's what it's going to look like.
Yep.
All right, let's do O-line, man. Trent Williams, assuming he's...
Thank goodness Garendo returned that kickoff, because I'm not sure he showed anything as a running back to make the team, but he's making the team as a kickoff returner.
Yeah, I thought he was bound for the IR redshirt year.
Yeah.
You know, good thing he came
back.
That
was a clutch kickoff return.
Yes. Trent Williams, assuming he comes back, Aaron Banks, Jake Brindell, Dom Pooney, Colt McKivitz, that's your starting O-line, I would imagine. Then Spencer Burford. They're going to put Feliciano on the IR.
Yep.
And I got them keeping Jalen Moore, Nick Sakelj, and Kingston, even though Sakelj probably doesn't really deserve it.
I would agree with everything you just said. Zakel probably makes it over Drake Nugent because Zakel can play guard and center extremely poorly while Nugent just plays center. And they drafted Zakel, and they could probably put Nugent on the practice squad. So I agree.
Yeah.
Zakel gets also, one more year.
He's also Brock Purdy's best friend. That helps.
Yeah, but no longer his roommate because Brock Purdy is now married, and I wonder if they hold that against Zakel. Like in the past, they're like, look, man, you're on the team because Brock can't afford to pay rent on his own. We really need you to be there for him. But now it's like you got to actually earn your spot.
Yeah, so that's what I got at O-line, nine guys. They released Lewis Kidd for all the Lewis Kidd fans out there.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't want to make light of that. I'm sure it really ruined his week.
This sucks, man. It really does. Yeah. I'm just making jokes, but in reality, it sucks. Yeah. D-tackle, man. Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, who looked fantastic. I was so glad to see Malik Collins go out there and play the way he did because I haven't been able to see him. I didn't go to training camp. That made me feel a lot better about stopping a run. So you got Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, and Kevin Givens. Those are four I'm pretty confident on the defensive tackle
position. That's it. Kalia Davis on IR.
Kalia Davis on IR. Any chance T.Y. makes it?
No.
What about the UDFA, Evan Anderson?
No.
Okay, so they're going to keep four and have Kalia Davis on IR and pull him back halfway through.
They have no depth. I mean, they could just keep bodies on the D-line who aren't, you know, one of their 53 best players, but they probably should keep their 53 best players.
I feel like they're going to be looking at the waiver wire on
I would
on
think D-line. So. Yeah. D-line.
So, won't surprise me. At the end, they got Nick Bosa, obviously Leonard Floyd day-to-day. You hear gross models is week-to-week, which that is horrible news. Those three guys are good. Two of them are injured. One of them is week-to-week. I haven't seen anything from Robert Beal. I heard Robert Beal did good in practice, but in
this game. He started in practice, so he's making the team. But, by default. If it's not him, then who's it going to be? Alex Barrett or
Jonathan Garvin? I like Jonathan Garvin.
Okay.
He looked good to me. He did more in the games than Beal did in the preseason games.
That's true. That's actually true. And the thing is that Beal's going to make the team over Garvin, which is roster politics.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. Yeah. Another position, though, where they snatch guys off the waiver wire. All right, man, help me on the linebackers. I want the 49ers to go young here, but I doubt they do. Fred Warner's going to make it. D. Winters has an ankle injury. Any update on that?
No, but he wasn't out there today. No, Kyle didn't talk today. We get injury updates on Wednesday when he talks next.
Okay. So Fred Warner, let's just say D. Winters is fine and he makes the team. Curtis Robinson has to make this team. He has to, Grant. He's going to make
conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe D. Winters, this injury pops up and allows them to keep another linebacker. Like they put him on, I don't know, PUP, and they keep the other six. Well, and then eventually someone gets hurt and they bring D. Winters back.
This is an after-the-fact injury, right? And nobody knew about this till after the game. So that feeds into your conspiracy.
I'm just saying.
I'm hoping, I would like them to, last year they kept six. Mm-hmm. I would like them to keep Fred, D. Winters. Curtis Robinson, Bethune, and Graham. I want them to go young here. And they got Dre Greenlaw on the PUP, I'd imagine, right? So
if I had to get rid of one linebacker on this of the seven on this team, I would choose Campbell. DFF.
You do choose who?
Campbell. I would keep DFF over Campbell. I think Campbell's slow. Yeah. I think he's gonna play his way off the field pretty quick.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything from Campbell either that impressed me. But they did pull him in for that. So I think he makes it, but I understand.
He'll make it. I don't think he should. Yeah. Kyle loves old players.
Well, that's the DFF thing. Like DFF is good on special teams, but as a linebacker, we know what he is. He's kind of just a mid linebacker, if we're being real. So why not go with these younger guys? But I think they're going to keep DFF and a Tatum Bethune or a Graham.
I agree. I think by the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Dre Greenlaw and Warner and DFF. Winters or Graham or Bethune. Yeah. Or Robinson.
That's what I want them to do. But I think they keep DFF. So we'll see on that one. It just announced, not announced, but it looks like Huff might be headed for the PUP list. So that means Jair Brown, George Odom, Malik Mustafa, And people are saying Taylor Hopkins, but Jalen Mahoney looked better to me.
Or Tracy Walker.
That's what I meant. People are saying Tracy Walker.
Oh.
But Jalen Mahoney looked better to me in the
game. Yeah, but Kyan has a fetish players. I'm sorry. I take it back. I didn't. That was the wrong word. But you know what I mean? Better. That was the wrong word. Yeah. He loves old players. Jalen Mahoney. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. Also, they could keep three safeties. Just go with three and figure a fungus coming back week five or something.
They could. Yeah. I hope they keep Mahoney because I was impressed with him. And I don't know.
What they could do is they could keep seven linebackers and three safeties.
They could.
At least at the beginning of the season.
That might be the better way to go about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if somebody gets hurt, because Mahoney will
probably. BFF can play a little safety. No, I don't know.
And Mahoney will probably clear waivers.
Yeah.
So they could always.
I would think so.
All right. Corner, man. So here's the thing. If you watch the press conference today, obviously you did. You were there. Who spoke? Darrell Luter Jr. That's a good freaking sign. The guy's going to make the team.
Yeah. If you get called up to the podium, especially like the day before cutdowns, it means you're going to make the team. Yeah, Jacob Cowan got called up today too.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep six. Charvarius Ward, Demo, Renardo Green, Isaac, Edom, Rocky Sin, and Luter. I think those are going to be your corners. What do you think?
Say them again. Hold on.
Yeah, Charvarius.
Demo, Renardo.
Isaac, Yadam, Edom, Rocky Sin,
and Luter. Yeah, those are the six. Samuel Womack not making it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think he makes the team. He was doing pretty good in the last game, but he had one play where he's just watching a guy catch a ball and run for a touchdown.
That was terrible. Also, Isaac Yadam hasn't practiced in a cool 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they're just being cautious with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if Renardo Green has taken his spot in the nickel defense because he's been out there and Yadam hasn't been.
Right, but I think they've seen enough of Yadam to he'll make the team if he's close to coming back from injury. And then you got your three special teams guys. That's it, man. I think that's how it goes down. It will probably go differently. The tight end one is the hardest one to predict to me.
Jake Tonjes. That's my hot take. And we'll see if they keep a fourth guy. Is it Willis or Latu? I'm saying I think they'll keep Willis. I think they'll keep Willis. But I could be wrong and they might not keep Tonjes. And if they don't keep Tonjes, I'm going to flip out. Okay, the 49ers don't have Trent Williams yet. They don't have Brandon Ayuk yet. Ricky Pearsall's missed a lot of time. Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, not healthy right now. Talanoa Hufanga's not back yet. Dre Greenlaw not back yet. I mean, damn. Do you think this team is sort of like destined for a slow start?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, especially if Trent Williams isn't on the team. Like, if Trent Williams is not signed and playing football for the 49ers, it's going to be a rough season in general. And even if Trent Williams does come back, when does he come back? Is he going to be in football shape when he comes back? Is Brandon Ayuk going to be on the team? Is Brandon Ayuk going to be in football shape when he comes back? Because it doesn't seem like this is happening today for either one of these guys. And the games are not that far away. So unless these guys get in the building now, as important as Trent Williams is, I feel like they will have it. Let's be honest, man. If Jalen Moore is a starting left tackle for the 49ers, I don't expect them to win many games like that.
Yeah. I mean, look at their first four games. They got Jets at home. Then they got Minnesota on the road on a short week. Then the Rams on the road back-to-back. Then the Patriots at home. I think when the schedule came out, most people thought 3-1 or 4-0 in that stretch. But now, I mean, like, if Trent Williams retires and Brandon Ayuk gets traded and Ricky Pearsall he's not helping one way or another in September. I could see them going 2-2 in that stretch, which would be awful. I mean, God forbid they lost to the Vikings or the Patriots. I don't think they could actually do that.
Having no left tackle, or hopefully they sign. I think they're going to sign him, but it's a matter of when. I hope. But even if he comes back and he comes back late, he's not going to be in football shape. Or heaven forbid, if Jalen Moore is your left tackle, and then you got you have no left tackle. And then you got Colton McKivitz, you have no right tackle. And then you have no ex-wide receiver. I mean, that's not a formula for success.
If Trent Williams misses a month, this contract dispute drags into the season, and Brock Purdy plays behind this offensive line, the Jalen Moore, Aaron Banks extravaganza, that's probably the worst offensive line in the league, and gets hurt, do you think fans would hold Kyle responsible for that?
They haven't. I mean, in general, no. There'll be a segment, 33% of them, that have been, you know, saying this from the beginning, but 66% would not, I would imagine. That's how it would work. I mean, I don't know, man. It's not feeling good, right? Like, you got to have Trent Williams. You need a solid left tackle. You need one. And Jalen Moore.
What's crazy is, like, everyone seems to remember to forget the Andrew Luck story. Andrew Luck was a great quarterback, one of the best in the league. Could have been, he was the number one pick in the draft. He could have been a Hall of Famer. And the Colts just never really invested in the offensive line. They got him weapons. They had a pretty good team around him, but he got beaten to hell. And then he just retired. He was like, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. And a lot of people,
what?
That was like 4 years ago. You got to pull with these quarterbacks that you value. And the Niners aren't yet, at least. And it's kind of concerning.
I don't understand. Like, an investment in, I read this somewhere, so I'm sorry who said it, and I'm not giving you credit. But somebody on Twitter said this, an investment in Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and the offensive line in general is an investment in Brock Purdy. And so far they haven't made that investment, which I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, the Niners are going to have a slow start if they don't have Trent Williams. They're going to have a tough season if they don't have Trent Williams. And especially if they don't have a true X wide receiver, I don't see them starting off hot.
Can we go back to a topic we were talking about earlier today, the demeanors of Kyle and other coaches? Like, Andy Reid's demeanor, his style is to make the quarterback the star of his team. Donovan McNabb was the star of the Eagles. It wasn't Andy Reid. And Patrick Mahomes is the star of the Chiefs. He doesn't compete with the quarterback. He empowers the quarterback. He protects the quarterback. He aids the quarterback with his play designs, but it's not about Andy. And Andy sets the tone there. Kyle's not like that, man. It's very much about Kyle, and he wants to remind his players and the viewers of, like, what he brings to the table and how he's elevating everyone. And it's a whole different demeanor and mentality, and it often puts him in conflict with his own quarterback, which makes sense when the quarterback's freaking Jimmy. But when it's Brock, that's a battle. That's a losing battle for the head coach.
They need to put him in the best position possible. Yeah. They should have invested heavily in this offensive line on rookie contracts. Like, if money is a concern, then put him on rookie contracts, and you don't have to worry about that. I mean, Pooney is a great addition, but I have not seen improvement from Colton McKivitz. And Jalen Moore, you know, no disrespect, he's just not a starting left tackle in this league. And it's just a big, huge concern. And if you don't have a true X wide receiver, add all those things up, it's just not a formula for success. Now, they can figure out all of this stuff. All these guys can get healthy. Trent Williams can get back. Brandon Ayuk can get back. And over time, they'll get in shape. If they can scrape by and get into the postseason, everything could change. Anything's possible at that point. But as far as the way they're starting so far, it makes you feel like it's going to be a slower start.
Well, look, we got one topic left. We'll take a couple super chats after that. I got to catch a train. But we just spent 54 minutes talking about issues, not complaining, not being negative, but really focusing on the serious issues that this team is faced with. And every team is faced with serious issues. Now let's try to be positive. Given all the stuff we've mentioned the last 55, what is this to be positive about this team?
Well, the one that jumps out at me the most is this rookie draft class. I mean, Ricky Pearsall aside, even if Ricky is a bust, which I'm not saying he is, but even if he is, they look like they got some real guys that can contribute to this team for years to come, which is humongous right now in a time where they have 40 free agents and they're getting older. This draft was so crucial to the success. All of us said that coming into the season, and even without Ricky, it looks like they did a really good job in this draft. So that's a reason to be positive about the future of the 49ers. And even this year, a lot of these guys are going to contribute early. So that's one thing I have.
Okay, here's a reason to be optimistic or positive about this upcoming season. Yeah, the vibes aren't great. Yeah, we all know about the Super Bowl hangover, and it seems to be in full effect, and there's a lot of concerns and issues, and they could have a slow start for a lot of reasons, but this is a team that's shown that they can flip a switch in October. They did it 2 years ago. They were like 3-4, and then they ran the table. So this is a team that's done it before. They know what November and December football requires. And if they get Trent Williams back and he gets into shape, and like, this is a team that could absolutely run the table. They've done it before. They have that kind of confidence. Now, they don't have the confidence of a team that's won a Super Bowl. So like, when they get to that game, that's a different story. But like, they've been to the Super Bowl twice. They know what it takes. And that's something that the Lions can't say.
Yeah. Another one I got, man, is this defense. Now, they have depth issues on the D-line, but the guys they have, to me, are an improvement over the guys that they had last year from a starting standpoint. So the defense in general, I think, could take a step up this season. I think the defense could be better. As long as the D-line stays healthy, they have more depth at corner. I like the addition of Malik at safety. The linebackers are young and good. Dre Greenlaw comes back. It feels like to me what this season, with this team, what's going to happen is that they might start off slow and then they're going to go on a tear. Once Hufanga comes back, once Greenlaw comes back, once these young guys get familiar with how NFL games work, it feels like that's what's going to happen this season. I'm hopeful that this season they finish strong. Trent Williams comes back, gets in playing shape. Hopefully Brandon Ayuk comes back, gets in playing shape. This defense is better than ever. Feels like that's, if they're going to make a run in the playoffs, that's how they're going to do it. And I think it's possible.
People in the chat are saying I have a mic issue that is crackling. Are you hearing crackle?
Yeah, it's been crackling.
But is it crackling now?
I think you fixed it. It's a cord.
I fixed it. How long has there been a crackle?
I should have told you a long time. I should have told you a long time ago, probably.
Well, has it been the entire show? The entire crackle?
A little bit, off and on.
Damn it.
That's my bad.
Where the hell were you on that one, Ryan?
I fucked up. Excuse my language. I messed that one up. That one's my bad. That one's on me. Yeah. I don't know why.
Remember that time in Happy Gilmore where he beats up his caddy? Where the hell were you on that one?
That was on me. My bad. I was reading the comments. I was like, yeah, not a big deal.
No, I actually dropped this on the ground before I started. So did I break it, or did I just need to
I think good? It was the cord. It was just loose. My bad.
Me and technology, man. It's good. Okay, well, I got to go now. Is there any more reasons to be positive? I think we listed yeah. Two things.
Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has a full season as that guy. Full off season, healthy. I hope he doesn't get a little too overconfident and a little too cocky, a little too aggressive. But if he can maintain that, I expect him to have a really good season.
Yeah. Also, A1 quality control.
There you go.
With a great microphone.
Yeah, four-man front every Thursday.
Four-man front. Check it out.
Yeah. My channel.
Dude says my mic is crackling. Yeah. Where the hell were you? Oh, you said that a half an hour ago.
My bad, guys.
Resilient Motto says, would you be hesitant to take CMC for fantasy football? Yes, I would be absolutely hesitant. He's got a calf injury. He had it earlier. Talk about re-aggravation. I'd be real hesitant. Scared. But I don't play fantasy football. Jody Moore says, hey, guys. Always enjoy you both. Thank you for the $50. Appreciate it. Did you catch Manti Te'o's comments on Good Morning Football? He pretty much said that when he sees Niners starters in preseason, that they look dejected and discouraged for the most part. No longer bully vibe. Do you agree?
I mean, that's what we've been talking about, and I did see it.
They look burnt out. That's how I would describe it. I think Pooney can start anywhere on the O-line, says Stephen Draper. I mean, honestly, if Trent Williams isn't there week one, Pudi might be the best player at left tackle. He played there last year.
He might be the best O-lineman.
He might be the best-looking player. Just handsome.
He might be. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for trying to help me with the microphone. That's on me. I have to take full responsibility for that. Joseph Stockbridge's been a member for 12 months. Thank you very much. I got to catch a train. This has been the best show we've ever had, Ryan. Great stuff, except for the mic.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. See you guys.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Hyland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Hyland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at Hyland.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.